Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And if there's anything that the world needs now, it needs God, it needs truth, it needs righteousness, it needs repentance, and it needs obedience to God, and it needs yielding to God to do His way. Now, as I mentioned last time, very few people know who America and Britain are in prophecy. So you order this book, America and Britain, the two nations that have ruled the world for 500 years, and why. Now, if you want a different perspective from this, because this will show you that indeed America and Britain are the 10 lost tribes of Israel. They're not lost to God. And it has been prophesied where they would be. And that includes Northwestern Europe as well. So, that's what you need to understand, because the prophecies in the Old Testament applying to Israel have a first fulfillment and a second fulfillment. And that's a key to understanding the Old Testament. Who are we, and why are we suffering so many difficulties and problems? Now stop and think about it. Do you have a Bible in your home? You may have more than one. I know people have 40, 50 Bibles in their home. And if you go back and trace the Bible back from William Tyndale in translating from the original Greek for the New Testament and Hebrew in the Old Testament, and he was quite a man.
His genius, his art, his love were veiled in exile, yet the elegant strokes of his pen remain etched in literary history. He was a pioneering translator, a poetic inventor, a determined scholar who transformed the English language into a new form of grandeur and grace. He believed in a God of love, a heavenly Father who desired intimacy with his children, be they king, priest, or peasant. As England closed her doors to his providential calling, a brotherhood of English merchants embraced his endeavor, funding his illicit printing of Bibles and smuggling his books aboard their ships. He labored in borrowed rooms, Cologne, Worms, and Antwerp, where he unlocked ancient Greek and Hebrew scriptures, tossing the keys to the plowboy and his friends. He defied the Pope, defended the weak, while his enemies sought to silence him. Year after year, he eluded spies of the Tudor realm until a moment of misplaced trust, he was betrayed. Though they burned his body, love triumphed. God's word was given an English voice.
He knew seven languages and could speak them as fluently as whatever native language that a person would have. And he could go from one language to another language through all of the seven in carrying on a conversation if necessary. He also knew Gaelic. And Gaelic is a kissing cousin of Hebrew, because in Wales, where he came from, that's where most of the Levites and the priests who were exiled when the children of Israel were exiled, where they ended up in the last days, in Wales. And that's also why they have such fantastic singers there, because they are the descendants of the singers of the temple that was destroyed in Jerusalem. An amazing thing to understand. That's why when people believe in evolution, reject the history and say, oh, the Bible doesn't mean anything, it's old-fashioned. Listen, The Bible is the truth of God, from the God of truth to every one of us, so that we may know Him. And we may know why we're here, and where we're going, and we can understand why we have the problems that we do. Now, whether the whole nation can come to repentance and return to God, that's another whole question. But every one of us as individuals can do that and come back to God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our being. Now, let's come to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the second chapter. Now, you have to feel a little sorry for Jeremiah. God brought him forth from conception to be a prophet. So important was this commission that Jeremiah, as the son of a priest, to bring 40 years of warning and repentance to the children of Israel and Judah and Jerusalem for them to repent. And did you know that if you read the book of Jeremiah, you will see that there was one place when King Zedekiah asked to talk to Jeremiah to find out what would happen because they had the armies of the Babylonians that were there and withdrew temporarily. And so Zedekiah wanted to know, so he had Jeremiah come secretly, and he said, "What's going to happen?" Jeremiah said, "If you as king will surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and then you can be a vassal king, I will not destroy the city, and I will not destroy the temple." Think of that. The decision of one man would have meant that the original temple of God would be with us today. But he didn't believe Jeremiah. And so, what happened? Zedekiah thought he could escape and run away, so he got out of there by night with his sons, and the troops of Babylon captured him, brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, and when Nebuchadnezzar found him, he gouged out his eyes and killed his sons.
"You do not bow to your conqueror? We bow only for the one true God. Your God put you here. I understand there has been a prophet in your country who told you this would come to pass."
"Jeremiah."
"Jeremiah, yes, that's the one. What did he say of your future?"
"He said I would not die by your hand."
"He did. Well, you must keep your life then, mustn't we? And who are those handsome young men who tried to escape with you?"
"My sons."
"This is the last thing you will ever see. Alive. As your God told you."
Now, all of that is because he didn't want to believe Jeremiah, the prophet. So let me ask you a question. Do you really believe God? Really? Enough so that you can repent of your sins and keep his commandments and obey him? Or are you going to be like Zedekiah and think, well, you know, this is just some religious thing? No, this is reality of life. And you look and you stop and think, how long can this nation last? Let's come to Jeremiah, the second chapter. So he said to Jeremiah, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me saying. Now, here's another thing, a sidebar you need to understand. Everything that was said from God in the Old Testament came from God to Moses and the judges and the prophets. And they wrote that word. Now, another thing you need to understand, the Lord God of the Old Testament was the one who became Jesus Christ of the New Testament. And you also need to understand something else that's true. The gospel can be found in every single book of the Old Testament, because the Bible is one complete book. Now, we have the Bible, the Holy Bible, in its original order. And if you don't have that Bible, you need to get it. And best thing about a hard copy is it doesn't need batteries. But if you have a smartphone, you can download it on our website, afaithfulversion.org. There you'll have the whole Bible. Text, audio, commentaries, appendices. Listen, the Word of God is so fantastic that you need to get with it. The word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember you. God remembers America. How do you think we started out? How do you think we got there? Why do you think that these men were Christians in the best way that was possible at that time? And there's no other constitution of human government like that except the constitution of the Bible. I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothals, when you went after me in the wilderness and in a land not sown. Israel was holiness to the Lord. That's why we have affected the world in a good way. And the first fruits of his increase, all that devour him will be held guilty. And haven't we won every war until Korea? And Vietnam? Because that was a turning point in America's history. Evil shall come upon them, says the Lord. Look what happened to Germany in World War II. If America had not been the Israel of God, and God determined to use Israel to conquer Germany, to punish that whole nation for their sins and their satanic ungodliness in the wars that they were doing, the atrocities in killing the Jews and millions of other people beside. Same way with the Japanese. Where would the world be today? Think on that. So God says, verse 4, hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel, all the 10 tribes who are in the world today. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they should have gone far from me and have walked after vanity and have become vain? Is that not a perfect description of what has happened to this nation? Nor did they say, where is the Lord? Once in a while they do. When they get in trouble, remember when 9/11 happened? Oh, God, save us. Boy, the churches were full of people. The synagogues were full of people. Oh, return to God. Lasted about 3 weeks. Brought us up out of Egypt. Who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts, of pits, through a land of dry places, of deep darkness, through a land where no man passes and where no man lived. See, that's why God took them out there in the desert when he brought them out of Egypt, for them to understand that everything comes from God. And the truth of the matter is, though they wandered there 40 years in the desert, they didn't have to wander that long. Did you know that if you read how the children of Israel were in the desert there in Sinai, that they would have gone into the Holy Land in the second year? Think on that. But because they didn't believe the report of the scouts who went in to scout the land, and they turned their back on God and refused to go into the land, and so then they wandered 40 years. Amazing, isn't it? So he says, verse 7, I brought you into a plentiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land, and you made my inheritance an abomination. Isn't that what we are doing now? Yes, indeed. The priest did not say, that is the religious leaders likened to today, where is the Lord? And they who handled the law did not know me. See, the ones who handle the law, the truth of God, do so to know God. Doesn't that tell you a lot about our religious leaders today? Yes, indeed. Nearly all of them reject the fourth commandment. Now, I've covered plenty of that on Church at Home, so I'm not going to get into it. But if you don't believe that you have to keep the holy day of the weekly Sabbath of God, which he says, remember. He didn't say forget. He didn't say change. Christ never changed it. No man can change the law of God. Think on that. They didn't know me. The rulers also rebelled against me. Do we have that today? Look at what's happened. Look at this latest election that took place. It's an amazing just bundle of lies. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Therefore, I will contend with you, says the Lord, and against your children's children will I contend. Then he says, go over here and see what I did to this nation. See, because God is in control of all the nations. We'll cover that a little later in Jeremiah 18. So he says, verse 11, has a nation changed their gods who are not yet gods? Think of that. Yes, we have. We have more witches in America than Presbyterians.
Nestled in the heart of the Hudson Valley is the Church of the Eternal Circle.
I'm planning here for you.
The only legally recognized Wiccan church in the state of New York. Lisa Stewart and her husband Anton are the founders of the church.
There are definitely more of us than you think.
It's estimated as many as 1 million people identify as being a witch in the U.S., with 20% of that population to be in New York.
We have people who are professionals of all kinds,
including a librarian, a computer scientist, a nurse, and a homemaker.
Very normal people are part of this religion.
Did you know that? And did you know that one witch who is so good, she says, I'm a Christian, but we can be Christian witches. That is an abomination. But how many people believe it? How many people do not even believe in God? You know, do your own. Take your microphone and go down the main street of your town and do your own survey. Ask them, who's God? Ask them, who are we as a people? Ask them, how come we have this nation the way it is? Ask them, why do we have so many problems? Ask them, why were you born? They won't be able to answer you because they don't know. But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be amazed, O heaven, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be utterly desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. Now stop and think. How many evils have you committed in your life and are committing and have been continuing to commit? Let's read on. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Now, what does that mean? That means they have changed and made their own religion using the name of God, but rejecting Him, claiming that all of these changes God approves, which He never did. That's creating a broken cistern. There is no permanent spiritual value to any of it. That's why when we read back in Amos, seek the Lord. Now come down here to verse 19. Now if you don't repent, here's a guarantee, and this is exactly what is happening in America today and in the world. Your own evil shall correct you. Automatic! And your backsliding shall reprove you. Therefore, know and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. Now, think on that. Doesn't that perfectly describe our nation and the world today? Yes, it does, without a doubt. Look at it. Has it gone too far that there cannot be the changes coming to make it right? Now think of what President Trump has done to try and correct it. And look at how the people responded to him. So what's going to happen? How's it going to be for the nation? But the question you need to answer is, how is it going to be for you and your life and your family? So God says, chapter 3, verse 22, return. Isn't that what we saw? God wants you to return to Him. Return, O backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come to you, for you are our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the high hills, from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel and for us individually. Because all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Verse 24, the shameful thing has eaten up the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds and their sons and their daughters. And what is that shameful thing? Rejecting the true God, turning from Him, and going your own way, or the way of this religion, or that religion, or atheism, which is a religion, by the way. Did you know that? So it says, verse 25, we lie down in shame, our confusion covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Will you obey the voice of the Lord your God and the teachings of Jesus Christ? Now, chapter 4 and verse 1. Now, I bring this out because if this nation does not repent, it is going to go into captivity exactly as the 10 tribes of Israel did.
Soon after Solomon's death, the 10 northern tribes rebel and form the northern kingdom of Israel. Then a powerful new enemy storms out of Mesopotamia to create the largest empire the Near East had ever known, the Assyrians.
The Assyrians were the overpowering military force, and Israel and Judah, the two states that the Bible talks about as the states making up the people Israel, fell under the sway of the Assyrian juggernaut.
Numerous Assyrian texts and reliefs vividly document their domination of Israel and Judah. In 722 BC, the Assyrian army crushes the northern kingdom. Those who escape death or exile to Assyria flood south into Jerusalem, where the descendants of David and Solomon continue to reign.
Chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice how this starts out. If, the most powerful little word in the English language. And it's conditional. God does not bless sinners. Satan blesses sinners temporarily. That's what people don't understand. It says, if you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. Not the figment of the imagination of some man, oh, what he thinks God is, to the true God who created the heavens and the earth and everything that there is. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, put away your lying, your cheating, your stealing, your adultery, your idolatry, serving other gods, and serve God. Put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be removed. Now think on this to show you how merciful God is. Though these are harsh words, he gave Judah and Jerusalem and those Israelites living there 40 years to repent. 40 years to repent. That's an amazing thing to consider. So he says, come down here to verse 4. Circumcise yourselves, says the Lord, and take away the foreskin of your heart. That is a prophecy in the future for us today, because baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit is the circumcision of Christ to take away the power of sin within. Now continuing, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can put it out because of the evil of your doings. So that's quite a thing, isn't it? So you need to write for our booklet on baptism, repentance, what is really deep repentance. And what do you have to do after you repent? We'll cover that next time. What do I do? Now, for you to know and understand what we've been covering is the truth of God. You write for this book, which I've mentioned several times already, America and Britain in Prophecy, and you need the book From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? All of these will send to you without cost so that you can know and understand the truth of God. Isn't that the most important thing that you could do in your life? To know why you're here, where you're going, to know who God is and what he will do for you and his plan for you if you repent and come to him. That's an amazing story. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.